right, we are live. Today is Sunday, May 6, 2018. This is a communion Sunday, so we're having a communion message. The title of it is The Breaking of the Bread, the Body Given for You. All right, this is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, and let's pray. Father God, we ask now that you would you would help us, and that you would move in us to prepare our hearts to receive communion today. We pray, Lord, that with these messages, that you will work through these messages to deepen our understanding of the communion, so that it is not a mere ritual, some outward event, but an inward reality that we are discerning the Lord's body, and we are remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. As Jesus says, remember, do this in remembrance of me. So it's more than just what he did, it's remembering Jesus until he comes. And so God, we ask for your help in this. It is our desire to honor you, to honor this sacrifice of Christ on our behalf, and to glorify your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'll just get right into this. John says that Jesus' body won't be broken. Now, in Luke 22, verse 19, for the context, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. John 19, verse 36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. A bone not be broken. Why does Paul say otherwise? 1 Corinthians 11, 24. And when, this is in quite a, some of the versions, the translations. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, meaning the bread, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. All right. Now, some hold the position the body can be broken without bones being broken. We talk about brokenness. There goes a broken person. They've been broken. A broken and contrite spirit, God will not revile. You know, he accepts a broken and contrite spirit. Okay. And the spirit can be broken. The point is that Jesus gave himself physically. A body was prepared for him. A body you have prepared for me. It's in Hebrews. And as Jesus came to do the Father's will, he was crucified. His body suffered crucifixion unto death. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 more accurately can be rendered like this. And after he had given thanks, he broke it, referring to the bread, and said, this is my body, which is for you. This is my body, which is for you. Or, this is the for you body of me. But do this in remembrance of me. So the word used for broken in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 is used specifically for the breaking of bread. While in John 19, 36, the word used for broken means to shatter or to break in pieces. To shatter. What we need to emphasize is the symbolic significance of the breaking of the loaf in its relation to the breaking of Christ's body in his death. A shattering. Now I can tell you, souls can be shattered. A soul can be shattered. And a soul can be broken in pieces. Part of soul restoration is because, especially with certain categories of sin, especially immorality, the soul is shattered and pieces of that soul, it's like in soul restoration, every time there's a physical contact sexually with someone, because of the nature of it, that part of the soul is attached to that person, and part of their soul is attached, say, to you or me, okay? There's something that happens there. The more the soul is shattered, it shows up in how people live. They tend to leave things around, they're scattered. Their stuff is scattered, and they are shattered, and they're not all put together again. Okay? They're not all put together again. But in soul restoration, that's what happens. What was shattered, it's like everything that's attached to somebody else come back. Everything of the soul that is attached to me, let's say, that belongs to somebody else's soul, go back to that person's soul so that they can be restored and I can be restored. Today, there is so much promiscuity and everything that I don't even know that everybody could even remember the different people. I mean, honestly. So, but that's so we know that a shattering can take place. And that's the word used for broken in John 19, verse 36. So a bone of him shall not be shattered or broken in pieces. Broken at all, but not also not shattered. The Corinthians were not rightly discerning the body, and some were being judged for it through sickness and death. What body were they not discerning? All right. We have to remember, we've talked about the body. There's Jesus' corporeal body, and that body is Jesus' body as an individual, his person, okay? Then there's us individually, of which Christ is the head, and we are the members of his body. Then there is the corporate body of Christ, which includes all true believers, and there is a union, we call it common union. Union with God is a vital spiritual union. It's a spiritual union, vital spiritual union, with Christ as the head, and we are looked at, when we talk about the church, as being living stones or part of this body, members of this corporate body of Christ. We are attached to Jesus as the head of that body. And the word for church means ecclesia, the called out ones. So all the ones who are truly called out ones are part of a corporate body of Christ. Now the Corinthians weren't recognizing this at all because they were fighting over the food and they were, who knows, they were fighting over places, you know, table seating and, you know, whatever. But when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "This is my body given for you." Okay. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17, it says, "The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." So Jesus is breaking the bread. He's breaking the bread. And at the same time, he is letting them know that they are all participating in a corporate body. Because they're going to be bickering very shortly over who's the greatest. Who's the greatest? Because it just so happened, and we're going to talk about this Wednesday night, it just so happened that Jesus was the head of what they call the head of the company at the table, And Judas was sitting in like the guest of honor position. And on the other side was John, the apostle, who calls himself the beloved. Okay? So he's on the other side. And Peter is down here, and he has taken the lowest seat. The lowest seat at this table. It was more like a U-shaped thing. Okay. So Judas, who betrayed Jesus, is sitting in this position, see? And they're all wondering, oh, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? You know, what's going on here? And then it looks like they thought Judas was getting some assignment to go out and help the poor or do something. They were trying to figure it out. Because Judas held the money bags. He's the holder of the money bags, if that's what it is in Greek, the money bags. And they figured he's
the treasurer.
So who's the greatest? Who's the greatest among us? See? All right. Aha. And Jesus is saying, he is saying there's one bread, and then Paul is going to say, we who are many are one body. We all partake of the one bread. Jesus is the bread of life. We all partake. Of his fullness have we all received grace for grace of what Jesus has done for us. Okay. Jesus gave us his body that we might become his body. The Corinthians were not discerning the other believers in their midst as his body given for them. So they weren't benefiting from the gifts given for the building up of the body. Therefore, no healing resulting in sickness and death. So, in 1 Corinthians 11:24, we're not talking about, we're talking about the spiritual body given for them. The spiritual body.
So could you repeat the part about they weren't discerning the others in the group as his body given for them?
They were not discerning the other believers as part of Christ Christ's body. They weren't, the Corinthians there were not, these are the Corinthians. I'm talking about the Corinthians.
Yeah.
In other words, like, look, you guys, you're all, you know, you're having these disputes, and this is the Corinthians, and you're coming in here, and the rich people are sitting at one table, and the poor people are somewhere else, and there's not a lot of sharing, although you're calling these love feasts. I don't see the love, but anyway. And all this stuff is going on, and it's because they're not discerning that corporately we're one body, the body of Christ. Paul says this in many places. You know, he's got this theme going on. And it's a spiritual body. And the breaking of the bread, it's not like each one of us is, oh, that's gross. It's not cannibalism. See, we're talking about the spiritual body of Christ. All right. It wasn't necessary to break Christ's body to complete the atonement for our sin. The Old Testament teaches us that basically it's all about the blood of Jesus. The life of the soul is in the blood. So you see, you even had trouble finding some hymns, but that you had good choices for this. Okay. Why is it in there in some of the things? Just to balance it out, the bread broken, the body broken. But there's probably a sense, I mean, we'd have to make the case for it, but his body being shattered, well, I don't know about the body, the physical body, but certainly his spirit felt it when he was abandoned.
It's which Greek text you're looking at.
I know.
The majority text has broken. The United Bible Studies text does not. It depends on which text you go.
Well, and there you go. It depends on how they're going to translate the word?
His flesh was shattered, whether the bones weren't broken, but there was...
Well, there was ripping.
Yeah.
They were a lot of bad stuff happening to his physical body. They pierced his side after he had died.
Well,
and
his
hands and feet. There's a fleshly wound.
So.
The marring, his appearance.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
You could even recognize him, is what it says in his Isaiah.
So that would be a shattering.
Yep.
The stripes on the back.
Right, all kinds of things. But the Corinthians to whom Paul wrote were not discerning the spiritual body of Christ. Nevertheless, Jesus' physical body suffered. Jesus' body was given on behalf of you and me. The body given for you. The body given for you. It's on behalf of us. This is talking about the on behalf of you body. Okay. All right. Four passages mention the bread and Jesus' body. Now as they were eating, this is Matthew 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And as they were eating, he took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Luke. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians 11, we just read. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, referring to the bread, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." All right. So, the broken word refers to Jesus breaking bread. The text never says Jesus' body is broken for you. Just says, "This is my body, the body given, the given for you body," saying his body is for you. Okay. Oh. There's a textual variant.
That's it.
Okay.
Two different texts.
A textual variant for 1 Corinthians 11:24. It is included in the King James Version, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." So, the phrase "broken for you" is part of the tradition of many churches. Some manuscripts actually say, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Oh, then here it comes, you can write your paper on this. This is a good paper writing thing for textual criticism class. Is it correct? All right. Well, Jim said probably not. A lot of them say probably not. Okay. For his reason, it is not found in the majority of manuscripts. Oh, are we going for majority text? And the reading is at odds with the parallel accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The most similar is, "This is my body, which is given for you." Okay. These passages are almost identical, except that Luke adds "given." Oh. Now, but you see, when they do textual criticism, okay, they're going to go, they look at the men who wrote the Bible and their writing styles. Okay. If Luke received his wording from the Pauline tradition, as some scholars suggest, it is even less likely that "broken" from the page is the correct reading for 1 Corinthians 11:24. For Luke did not include the word. There are textual questions about Luke's passage. All right, so they have all this.
Luke was a doctor.
That was his profession,
physician,
yeah.
Physician, yeah, he was
physician.
Always
Luke the physician. They figure he paid more attention to details.
Well, that's what I'm thinking about, the biology stuff,
right?
He
anyway.
Wasn't present, though.
No, he was not there. He just writes about it later. He wrote Luke Acts. Luke and Acts. Most scholars prefer the longer reading because it is more difficult and has better manuscript support. So, either way, though, see, broken has no support from the parallel passages. So what's their answer? Scribes seem to have added words to explain Paul's concise quotation of Jesus. This is my body, which is for you. Or the for you body. They added the word. It is therefore likely that the variant broken was added by a scribe. Okay. Now, you're going to, when textual criticism is done, because I had that class, you have to take that class in seminary. I actually like it. It's like kind of being a detective on everything, you know, and you read all these things and the variations, and then you have to say what you think, and then if you thought the way the professor did, you get an A.
But if you don't,
well, I don't know, it's up for grabs. You surely put your best effort into here. Maybe you'll get an A or not. Anyway, but they have certain guidelines, you know, for getting to hopefully the right thing. Just know that this is before everybody's whatever to somebody else. That's the case here. Okay. And then the other thing about the body not broken had to do with the fact that not one of his bones will be broken. They did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers did pierce the side of Jesus with a spear, and there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true. He knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. That's from John 19, verses 33 to 36. These things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, namely, not one of his bones will be broken. Okay. So they didn't break through a rib in piercing his side. Jesus' legs were not broken. John's quoting Psalm 34, verse 20. None of his bones were broken. The Passover lamb was not to have any of its bones broken. Don't break those bones.
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Exodus 12:46 says, "It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not take any of the flesh outside the house, and you shall not break any of its bones." Numbers 9, verse 12, "They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any of its bones. According to all the statute for the Passover, they shall keep it." All right. Now, the thing is, though, in the process of breaking the bread, okay, in that process, we are to remember that Christ's body was given for you and for me as individuals, the body, and corporately. It's not just, I guess symbolic act isn't really the right thing. It's kind of a show and tell. He's breaking the bread, okay? And as they pass it around, maybe they break a piece off or whatever they do, but the breaking of the bread. And while he's doing, they're to understand this, that it's going to represent and be symbolic of Jesus' body given for each of them. Because they're about to squabble over who's the greatest. And you see, Jesus' love, it's the same kathos, it's the same quality and quantity. The same quality and quantity that Jesus has, that the Father has for Jesus, is Jesus' love for those for whom he died. You see what I mean? The disciples aren't catching on to this. Jesus has given him a commandment. Love one another And not soon after that, at the dinner, they're going to be fighting over who's the greatest and who gets to do what and whatever. You see? And he's trying to teach them that they might think, oh, well, I'm the beloved, John the beloved, right? Because I sit here and I had this position. Am I the greatest?
What about Peter?
Now remember, they sat around. Well, there you
Peter's
go.
Peter's a big deal.
They sat around wondering who was going to betray Jesus. Okay, and it turned out to be the guy that had the seat of honor there.
James, and then go back to
Judas.
But he wasn't a disciple. But what about John the Baptist? He was the greatest before.
Well, he was. Oh, he's the transition.
No,
Old Testament.
No, but he was large.
He was of the Old Testament prophet.
Right.
Old Testament. Moses is really the top. Anyway. So, he's doing this because it's love one another as Christ, it's forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you, and we love because God first loved us, and it's supposed to be this level of love, agape. You see what I mean? And so, we're supposed to discern this. If we're discerning it, we also realize we fall short. Or we should be realizing how we fall short of this. See? And we need to understand that out of this love that we don't really understand, if we're honest, God the Father sent Jesus Christ on a mission with a message, and he at this point, he is going to die and pay the penalty for sin out of obedience. And that obedience arises because he's a son of the law and he's fulfilling all righteousness. Not just the keeping of the law. The only one who really would have earned eternal life would have been Jesus. The obedience, an active obedience, but also taking the penalty. He just took it. It's called a passive obedience. But Jesus was very much active during that, what they call a passive obedience, because he's alert and he knows exactly what's happening. He knew ahead of time what would happen. He knew way back what would happen before the creation of the world. And he's doing it voluntarily. All right? And so we're to recognize, that's what we recognize. We're supposed to be getting there. We're supposed to be getting this message. Okay. This is my body, which is for you. The bread is broken, the body of Jesus Christ is given, an offering of himself once for all time. People say, oh, Jesus was offered once for all. And they think it's once for all people. But if you read Hebrews very carefully, it's talking about the fact that the animal sacrifices there's no need for them anymore. Jesus fulfilled that part of the law. There's no need. Israel would not be a theocracy. And there's no need. Moral law, that's different. But he's doing away with the worship system, and he had that right. We talked about that when? Last Wednesday night, I guess. Because he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and when there's a change in the priesthood, there's a change in the law. So he's changed. He's got laws, the laws of the kingdom, the law of Christ. And they're the same thing. Because now it's love. The standard is high. It's a very high standard because the standard now is God's kind of love. See, people think, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. No, Jesus raised the bar. They could all go and do their sacrifices and not even have a change of heart. They didn't have to have an inward reality. Jesus goes right to the inside and he raises it way high. It's called the high calling.
But can you have both?
No. Because you can't add anything to the gospel. If you try to go back under the law, Galatians says it's no gospel at all. There's no good news in that. All right. So, once for all time, that those who receive him, Jesus, might have eternal life. As the body was given, the sacrifice for sins, that our sins might be forgiven legally and judicially. The blood was poured out for the remission of sins. For the atonement required that divine justice might be satisfied. It had to be satisfied to God's level of satisfaction. Oh, well, I think that's enough. I mean, come on, don't you? No. God the Father had to say it was enough. God the Father had to say it met all necessary and sufficient conditions. God the Father had to be satisfied. In the Old Testament, the priest takes the elements to be offered, whether it was grain, wine, oil, animal flesh, whatever it was. The priest takes the elements to be offered, blesses God, and seeks God's blessing upon them, and then breaks and gives them to those who are present for the sacrifice to consume them together. In consuming what has been offered and blessed by God, the whole assembly is nourished by God's presence among them. Thus, when Jesus took bread, he's taking the element, bread. He blessed God, the blessing. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. So he's really enacting a sacrifice of thanksgiving in which it was understood the bread was his body and the cup was his blood. And when the disciples ate the bread and drank the cup, they were, and we still are, nourished by the presence of Christ. And so we say Jesus is spiritually and really present when we're taking the communion in the spiritual body of Christ. All right. Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. To be chased is to make chaste, to be purified. To make chase. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Proverbs 20:30. Stripes that wound scour away evil, and strokes reach the innermost parts. Jesus suffered that on our behalf. Christ took our infirmities and diseases by bearing them. He healed people out of compassion before going to the cross. He carried them away. He was wounded and pierced for our breaking of the law. He was crushed for the bent of our hearts, our iniquities. His blood was shed for remission, the forgiveness of our sins. It's apheme in Greek. It means they're sent away. I heard Corrie ten Boom in person one time. Mm-hmm. And she got up there and she had this sign. And I don't know, she must have had it behind the podium there, because all of a sudden she lifts up this sign and it said, "No fishing. Your sins have been sent away." And then in the Old Testament it says, "They've been cast into the sea." And she says, she holds up this sign and says, "No fishing. No fishing. No fishing." You have to believe it. Christ's work on the cross heals our souls. Our consciences are purged from dead works so we might serve the living God. 1 Peter 2:24, Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree. By his stripes we were healed. The atonement accomplished this. Jesus healed through the atonement by bringing us back and making reconciliation with the Father. One thing where I think charismatics, and I don't limit the Holy Spirit, but I do think that in some churches where the focus is so much on the physical healing, by his stripes you were healed, and they just, it's the physical body, your physical body being healed. I think they're leaving out a whole lot about the body of Christ. See, his body was given. A lot of stuff happened to his body. And it's more than Jesus, the healing that Jesus did with the body given for us and all that means was way more than just our physical body being healed, because our physical body will die at some point in our lives. Even though today they're saying children born today could easily live to be 100 years old. More people are living to be over 100 that they're telling people now, you better prepare to live to be 100, especially in Wanda's family. You better, she's heard me say this for a long time, because they're all really, I mean, they live. Live really, really long.
They've got good genes, that's great.
It's the farm, I think.
And that's also
it's the food, I really think.
And
also
and
assuming.
Godly
and
living.
The work.
Yeah. Godly living. Also.
Godly living.
Yeah.
The work. It's good, honest work.
And the genes.
And the genes. Yeah, okay.
Because my grandfather, I think he was the only surviving child, so he must have been...
Oh, okay. Something
know.
There.
Yeah.
A lot of grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It may have been, you know, like... He survived because he had more immunity or something. I don't
something.
Know.
Yeah, something happened there. All right, but by his stripes we are healed, or we were healed. It isn't just the physical body. And when there's too much emphasis put on physical healing, and I'm all for it. I've been healed directly by the Holy Spirit many, many times. Many times. Especially when there was a job to be done. And an assignment given, and my physical health was in the way. God would heal something so I could do. I mean, really, you know. Okay, well, this has to go because hey, you got to do this. But I think there's too much focus on that, so that whenever people are not healed, the way that it's approached can diminish the work of Christ for the greater gift, which is really being reconciled with God the Father. There's no reconciliation with God the Father, or to know God as Father, apart from and through Jesus Christ. That's it. No one gets back to the Father but by me, and that's what salvation is all about, getting back to the Father. All right. So the atonement accomplishes. Jesus heals through the atonement. W.E. Vine explains this is, quote, not referring to Christ's scourging, but figurative of the stroke of divine judgment administered vicariously to him on the cross. And that is from the Septuagint of Isaiah 53, verse 5. Vine's expository dictionary of biblical words. Oh, you love it. Okay. These books are out there, but they're kind of interesting. They're interesting. All right. The idea is we were bound. Our healing came through Jesus Christ and our union with God in Christ. Jesus died on the cross for us, enduring punishment and bearing our sins. The principal disease of a person's soul is being in an unregenerate state. That's our big disease. Ease. We are not at peace with God. We are not regenerated. We are unregenerate. We are by nature children of wrath. Only as the grace of God touches us with our believing the gospel, the word of the truth, do we receive the healing our souls need. and our spirits are dead. So I mean, we need to come alive, and that life, the life producer is the Holy Spirit, and that life is in Christ. In Him is life, and that life is the light. See? The life. What do people see in a person who is a true believer, and the closer we get to the living God? Life. And the life is that light. When people don't have that life, God is not shining on them, see, which is blessing, but it's just something. Oh, you know, and there's darkness there. There can be, you walk into a place, there can be, it's spiritual darkness, but it can manifest physically. Because it just feels, you can feel the darkness, you can feel the oppression. Sometimes you feel like you could almost, it's so tangible, like you could cut it with a knife, you know, like idea.
Yeah.
It's so oppressed. I remember years ago looking, my mother was, we were trying to find a house to buy, to move her closer to our house. We thought she was going to live with us, but then she didn't really want. And so we were looking around, and we walked into this house, and it was so occult, and it was physically dark, and the blinds, I don't remember that the blinds were even down, but a lot of people that live that way, their houses are physically dark, you know. And, well, their blinds are down, it's all closed up. You know, it's dark in there. The lights aren't on. Physically dark. But this wasn't so much that dark, but there was a darkness in there just from all the oppression that was in there. And I thought, oh, this is no place. You know, scratch this one. But what happened was my mother had something happen, so she never, we were going to buy the house across the street. Stephen and I ran over there and checked it out, but the house sold in 3 days. So it was just God's way of closing doors, and then my mother was in a position where she could not move, and she, you know, was on taking care of at her house, which meant more work, but taking care of her house for 8 years.
It helped her know where everything was, even though she didn't
move a lot.
Yeah,
she couldn't see.
At least she knew what environment she was in.
She knew what.
You know.
All right, so this is talking here about our salvation, and with it comes continual healing of the disease of the soul, and the healing of the body is a benefit. Not always guaranteed, but it is a benefit. Because it goes backwards. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. So if your spirit is in union with the living God through Christ, or in union with Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit, who is the living spirit, living in you, and your soul is, you know, can be restored, and your health prospers, what? I hope your health prospers as your soul prospers, right? So as we work on our relationship with the Lord, the more Word of God we have inside of us, let's just say our bodies have an optimal opportunity to be healed. Just like the doctor, the surgeon was so surprised how fast I was healing from the surgery I had. He was so surprised. And I knew you only have your 5 minutes, so, because it was a post-op thing. And he even looked at me like that. He got right up to me and he was, you know, looking at me. And he went, "You look good." I mean, he wasn't, you know what I mean? He was surprised that I was...
He's not Christian, I doubt.
No, he's very Jewish.
I mean.
Oh, no, he.
Would you be curious to come here and see what?
No, he's too busy.
Oh.
He does surgery. He does surgery every day. But he's not against Christians, because I noticed that a few people working in his office are Christians.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
He's not against Christians, but maybe it was a curiosity. Who knows? He knew that I had gone to Jerusalem and spoken there at the convention center, and he had me, at that time, he had me all set up. Hadassah Medical Center in Jerusalem, best hospital in the world, had me all set up there.
And she had to take her medical records and what she was being diagnosed with in case something happened. So when we got there, if she ended up in the hospital, he made sure everything was set up in advance so they wouldn't have to discover America twice, as you said.
Yeah, right. And his family, I forget now what they donated to part of, you know, whatever. Okay, so, yeah, so it was good. So it's a quiet witness and testimony. See? Yeah. The only thing is, I don't really want to need surgery after surgery after surgery to make the
right.
You know what I mean?
And then I know what you mean.
Although he did sit down to with Joanna in the waiting room and talk to her, she said, for a long time. Because that, you know, and so who knows?
So did she ever tell you? What she, no,
not
right. Okay.
She will at some point.
Okay.
But she, we both liked him. We were his cheering section. All right. We are promised to be healed from sin in the atonement. Healing is in the atonement, but just as sin is still operative in our lives, total healing, don't ever pray for it, total healing comes when the believer physically dies and enters the glorified state of resurrection. He just enters the glorified state. So you have a down payment now of all these things, and someday you get everything. But a lot of people don't sell it short because a lot of people just, oh, well, ugh, whatever. And when I physically die, you know, woo, you're going to be shocked and surprised. Because God is a holy God. Better get used to it now.
Yep.
And you can walk with the Lord now. You can have resurrection power now. That working in us. You can have the energy of the working power of the Holy Spirit working. We can have that working in us now. We have judicial acquittal now. See what I mean? There's a lot of things we have now. Okay. At that time, we receive new bodies in the full redemption of our bodies. So there were divisions in the body of Christ, we're almost finished, at Corinth that needed to be healed. As we break the bread in remembrance of Christ's body given for us, let's also remember the peace Jesus brings. Healing, whether spiritual or physical, is a blessing flowing from God's holy heart as he moves in love and compassion in our lives. Our greatest need is peace with God. Peace with God. That our sins be forgiven and that our sins and our iniquities be remembered no more. Be remembered no more. Can't bring it into this courtroom. Nuh-uh, not admissible. Let's remember the Lord's death now until he comes. Amen.